Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning as we continue our election season series of discussions. You'll remember that last week we talked a bit about fair elections and in particular the redistricting proposal on the ballot. So again, remembering that we have about a week and a half before Election Day and we have a number of decisions to make, including, of course, we'll be voting for our congressional representatives, and next week we'll have Dan Maffei and John Katko here, again with Grant Reher, and we'll be asking them some questions. Today, however, we have the two candidates for Onondaga County Sheriff, and Professor Grant Reher, a political scientist from the Maxwell School, is going to be moderating. Thank you, Grant. Grant has done this job for us before, and he's done such a good job that he's now roped into it forever. Not only that, he's had some practice. He's also the director of the Campbell Institute at the Maxwell School, and he's also the host and interviewer on Campbell Conversations on one of our other regional public radio stations, WRVO. And so he's already had the pleasure of introducing the two candidates or interviewing the two candidates. So they've had some practice. But we're going to throw a little twist into it because, of course, we have some questions at the end. And for those of you who are guests, when we get to the questions, you raise your hand, and I will try to get to as many of you as possible with the microphone. So again, thank you, Grant Reher. Take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Sandra. First of all, I want to thank the two candidates for participating in this conversation. Gentleman sitting in the middle, Toby Shelley, is a Democrat. He's had a long career with the Air Force and the Air National Guard, and he's also worked in the county sheriff's department for 17 years. He runs a family farm and an excavation business in Otisco. Gene Conway, sitting at the end of the table, running as a Republican, is currently the police chief in DeWitt. He also worked in the county sheriff's department for 24 years, retiring as captain of criminal investigations. So the basic format that we'll have here has followed what we've done in the past. I'll ask three fairly open-ended questions, plus I have a shorter preliminary question to set the context. I'll reserve some time in all of this for some possible follow-ups and responses along the way, depending on what I hear from the candidates. I'd like to ask each of the candidates in this section of the program to limit your initial responses to about 3 minutes, and for this first preliminary question, I'm going to ask you even less than that. That will leave plenty of time then for questions from the audience. Based on my past experience here, they will have many, and so we will have no shortage of those. Those questions, just to remind you folks, can be directed, if you like, to one or the other candidate, and they can be directed to both of them. I'd like to ask the candidates that their answers to those questions, in order to get more questions in, be closer to a minute. And then depending on the time and Sandra's mood, the candidates may make a final statement at the close to sort of wrap things up and give us their final thoughts. Now, in preparing for this, I've re-listened to the WRVO Campbell Conversation debate that we did a few weeks ago, and I've tried to go to school on it here. Before I ask my first question, let me just also make a brief plug for that program that you can find. We've done a series of candidate debates. We did a two-part debate with the 24th congressional district candidates. We are doing one with the 129th assembly district taping today. We've done one with the 127th, and of course the county sheriff candidates. You can find all of these on WRVO's website and listen to them, download them to your phone. All right, having said that, let me get to the preliminary question, and then I have three other more substantive ones. But I think it might help some of us, because although the county sheriff's office is incredibly important in the county, I think it remains murky to some people in terms of how it fits in with the rest of the law enforcement community. If you could give just a very brief informational overview of the type of law enforcement and services that this office is engaged in and how that fits in with local, city, and state law enforcement. So if one of you could start with this, just take about a minute or so, and then maybe what the other one could do is fill in the gaps in what the first respondent has said, just so that it gives us all a base to work from here as we go forward. So Mr. Conway, if you could start with this, if you could just give us a quick overview of the office and what it does.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come here before you this morning. The sheriff's primary responsibility is to maintain the jail, and that's constitutionally, that's what he is required to do. Anything beyond that, obviously, is up to the means to do any other kind of investigations or road patrol services. So really the sheriff's responsibility, primary responsibility, is to maintain a jail, and that's been the case since the sheriff's office was formed. There are five towns in this county that have their own police departments, and there are seven villages that have their own police departments. Many of those were formed, obviously, many, many years ago, and I think the most recent one was formed in the town of Cicero. And where I work in the town of DeWitt, the law enforcement agency in the town of DeWitt is the primary law enforcement agency for services, except in the case of an emergency. In the case of emergency, the closest police vehicle to that emergency is what's dispatched, whether that would be the state police or the sheriff's department or the town of DeWitt. In DeWitt, we consider ourselves a full service agency, which means we handle almost all types of calls and incidents. However, those that we can't, such as a large-scale drug investigation, we turn that over, and we have the ability to turn it over either to the sheriff's department or the state police. But by and large, all the other calls for service, at least in the town of DeWitt, are handled by the town of DeWitt. The sheriff's department does supply other services that we don't have. We don't have a canine unit. We don't have a navigation unit. We don't have a SWAT team. Obviously, we don't have a helicopter. So if we needed those services, we would call for them and they would be available. I know in the town of DeWitt, the question that's asked most of me by my own police commission that I report to is, how come we don't see many sheriff's patrol cars in the town of DeWitt? And it's a great question. Primarily because it's been the practice, I believe, of the sheriff to fill those areas of the county that don't have their own police department with patrols and then fill in with available patrol deputies those towns that already have a police department. And of course, then the question is, well, we pay the same amount of taxes, so shouldn't we receive the same level of services? And of course, the answer is yes. And that is one of the things, obviously, as sheriff, that I will try to do, is try to balance that so that the services the taxpayers pay for their services from the sheriffs, they get.
Okay, Mr. Shelley, what would you want to add in there?
Well, though I have a master's degree in criminal justice, I have a bachelor's in history, and I think a little bit of a history with the office of the sheriff is important here. These people wouldn't get in the jail, and what Chief Conway's referring to, the legal responsibility of the sheriff is to maintain the jail, but they never would have gotten the jail if we didn't arrest them first. And it actually goes back to England in 600 AD when they had tax collectors, and the tax collectors were called the boarhead or the reef, and the shires that the people lived in, instead of counties, they had shires, and that's where you get shiree from, as tax collectors. And if Grant didn't pay his taxes, the sheriff would arrest him, bring him to the courts, and put him in jail. And if you look at the sheriff's department, it has four different divisions, and that's what we have. We have police arresting Grant. We have guys taking Grant to court. Grant's a bad guy today. So, and then we have the courts and the jail. So you look at the four divisions, that's where they come from. Grant not paying his taxes in England in the Shire in 600 AD. The sheriff's department's 220 years old in Onondaga County. It's an integral part of the county, not just the jail, the police division, the court division, and the civil division, that civil process. And that's all part of the criminal justice system, which also includes your district attorney's office, Jamesville, and things like that. And the sheriff was here first, and I'm guessing will be here last with that whole system. So to understand that, how do we work together? We work very well. DeWitt Police, for example, was created in 1958. The sheriff's department was here and long before that, long before the state police even.
Okay. Thank you. So let me get to my first real substantive question here. After listening to the earlier joint conversation that we had on the Campbell conversations, here's what I'm still most unsure of as a voter who has to choose one of you in a very short period of time. It's the difference between the two of you in terms of how you'll organize the county sheriff's law enforcement efforts and what you'll prioritize. You both seem like good, experienced, intelligent, capable people. You both said that your party membership really didn't matter that much to this race. You both said that you'll be careful with taxpayer money. You both said that enforcing the SAFE Act would not be job number one. You both emphasized your past and current life and professional experiences. But resumes only get you the job interview. They don't get you the job. So help me to sort this out. What will be the most relevant differences between how a sheriff's department operates under a Shelley sheriff versus a Conway sheriff? Mr. Shelley, could you start with that?
Well, I believe you have to look to the past to help you see the future. And I have a plan for that future, and it's a fiscally conservative plan. And I've been talking about it for 4 years. For example, I think Air One helicopter is very important. I think hiring more positions, both in the jail and on the road patrol, are very important. But I don't want to raise taxes because I'm tired of paying taxes to do that. I propose we bring in some unnecessary take-home cars, ones that just take people back and forth to work, those people that don't respond to calls in their off time, which is the only justification to have a take-home car. We can save enough money to do those things. I have a plan to make our schools safer. I'd like to transition the 4 full-time positions in our schools. Those positions cost about $360,000 because it's very expensive to have police officers around because of our benefits. And replace those retired cops, retired police officers. $20 an hour, they don't need benefits because they already have them. For the price of 4, we can get 17. To my knowledge, we've never had a shooting in a school that had a school resource officer. Make our schools safer. We could actually save money doing this because while these people are in schools, this full-time position, it creates overtime. I think it's very important that we connect and collaborate and cooperate with other police agencies. I just learned today that Syracuse University has 140 people up there. How come I didn't know that before this? And I also think it's very important that we connect with communities. We've lost that connection with a lot of the technology we have in our cars. When I came on the job, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have computers. You actually had to get out of your car and talk to people. We need to get back to that. We need to rebuild those connections. We need to rebuild that public trust. So those are just 4 things I'd like to do, because I think Grant's glaring at me. My 3 minutes might be up.
Oh, you've got a little bit more time. I didn't mean to glare.
Let me keep talking then.
Mr. Conway, I want to push you. I mean, Mr. Shelley put forward some plans. I don't know if you agree or disagree with all of those points, but what's the most important differences between how you're going to organize your office and prioritize what you do?
Well, the most important difference is what Mr. Shelley talks about doing, I have done for the last 12 years in the Town of DeWitt Police Department. Connecting with the community, the Town of DeWitt is the third busiest police department in this county, behind the city and the sheriff's department. And I'm proud to say that we have a very professional, responsive, respectful group of police officers that have a response time to a call in the Town of DeWitt of less than 5 minutes. And we know that we have strong support because on an annual basis we reach out and do things such as conduct a customer satisfaction survey. We ask the members of the community, what do you want from your police department? What types of services would you like to see? We have a very robust neighborhood watch group, 7 groups in the Town of DeWitt. We are very busy, but all of our neighborhoods are important to us. All of those things that I have learned over 12 years of being a leader in law enforcement, I'm going to continue that, obviously, on a larger scale with a larger group of police officers to all the areas of Onondaga County. That really is the difference, my proven experience.
Okay. Let me move on to the next question then. And we'll start Mr. Conway, with you. What do you view as the most important improvement or reform that has been made in the sheriff's office during the past 10 years? And what is the single most important addition that you think it will need in the next 10?
I'm not sure that I'm ready to speak about a most important reform that has happened. Obviously, the president administration has been there now for 20 years. There will be a new sheriff, and I'm going to bring fresh approaches. I'm going to bring a new sense of leadership to the sheriff's office. I'm going to incorporate and implement some of the same programs that we know work and have worked in the town of DeWitt. I'm not sure that I have seen, unfortunately, any great reform over the last several years. There's been, of course, great technology that's been helpful, obviously, to law enforcement, but that's been available to all law enforcement agencies throughout this county.
Well, what do you see on the second part of the question? What do you see coming down the road in the next 10 years that's going to require some change or shift or addition to the sheriff's office?
Well, each agency really every year is tasked to do more with less. We need to provide the same level of services or enhanced services, usually with the same budget or less. So the challenge is always, how do you continue to do more with less? The challenges I feel that we face as a community going forward, one of them is the problem that we now have with the computer. The computer and the internet is a wonderful thing, done many good things, but in law enforcement we've seen, obviously, the bad things that it's done with it. All too often, we have residents, children of parents who are calling us because someone has gone online and emptied someone's bank account, or they have gone online and tried to create that person to be a victim of a crime. Those are tremendous challenges to us in law enforcement. And so I think going forward, we're going to somehow have to be better able to attack electronic crime, because these crimes are being committed not only in our community, these crimes are being committed from other countries, which makes it incredibly difficult not only to be able to solve, but certainly try to be able to recover the kinds of things that are happening to our community members.
So, Mr. Shelley, again, same question. What do you think is the most important change or reform that's been made in the sheriff's office in the last 10 years, and what would be the most important addition that you think it's going to need in the next 10?
Well, I don't have a 12-year disconnect from the sheriff's office because I recently retired there, and obviously I had more time to think about this question, and I have to go beyond 10 years to get a good answer for that.
Okay.
And my answer to that, to the best thing that was done, was building an abused person unit countywide. That's a great unit. It works well. It's got Syracuse police, sheriffs, dealing with all those sex crimes and things like that. That's the best thing I think has happened, but we got to go a little beyond 10 years to find that. The biggest challenge, which Chief Conway alluded to, and I think we always need to keep an eye on, is what happened in the town of Clay. When they dissolved their police department and the sheriff's department took it over on a contract for services, then the contract was dissolved. That affected every single person that lives in Onondaga County. If you live in Clay, the response times are longer. If you live in Atisco, where I live, one, we have to pay more. When they dissolve that, one day you have a PD that can take calls, the next didn't. We ran a PD on overtime. And now I don't necessarily get good police protection where I live because the calls are more to the north. We move the people to the north where the calls are. People in Atisco are unprotected. And we always need to keep an eye on that. How are we going to provide public safety when we're starting closing police departments? Money's always an issue. I've knocked on thousands of doors now. Overall, people don't tell me they feel unsafe in their homes. The questions I get asked about, overtime in the sheriff's department, pension padding, take-home cars, all about money. Money's always going to be a challenge.
Well, Mr. Shelley, let me stick with you and ask this question. You're elected on your own independently as a county sheriff, but, and you just alluded to money here, your budget is determined by the county. Has the county appropriately supported the sheriff's office in recent years, and what strategies would you employ to establish a good working relationship with county government and office?
I think I would turn that around. Has the sheriff appropriately supported the county legislature? That's the way I would phrase that. It concerns me that on October 15th in 2010, the sheriff stood in front of the county ledge and they're giving their budget hearing and said, this is public, this is the first time in my tenure I've ever met with the county ledge. That would concern me. As sheriff, you need to meet with those people regularly. You need to have an open door and a rapport. And that's something I would do. I would encourage my staff to do, because it's very important. That's where your money comes from. That's how things operate. Once they approve that budget, it's the sheriff's, but we need to have that good working relationship, and I would definitely work towards that.
And I want to push you a little bit on this, and maybe this is not where you want to go to establish that good working relationship, but has the county, in a budgetary sense, do you think it's given enough support to the sheriff's office? Could there be more? Should there be more?
I think it's difficult to support a person who hasn't supported you. You know, a lot of things we talk about there, one, I think that's more as I'm mad at the sheriff, you're not going to have your helicopter. And I've heard that, that type of whisper.
Okay. Mr. Conway, same question. Do you think the county has appropriately supported the sheriff's office in recent years, and what strategies would you employ to establish a good working relationship with them going forward?
Well, as a sheriff or as a police chief, we are the stewards of taxpayers' money. And I've learned that, obviously, in the town of DeWitt. What's important, I believe, is to show fiscal integrity. $83 million is the sheriff's budget, or it was last year. And I think it's important to make the public aware that we are spending their tax money in the most efficient way possible. And you need to show examples of that. I report, obviously, to a police commission every month that is made up of members of the community. And I also report to a town board in the town of DeWitt. And they create that budget based on, partially, what some of the requests are for. But it's incumbent upon me as a police chief to go out and try to find the most efficient way to conduct police services. And we do that through partnerships, we do that through grants, we do that with other first responders and trying to come together, and do we share one piece of equipment? We don't both need that same piece of equipment. So as a leader, you reach out and you try to find the way to share that piece of equipment so you can save just those taxpayer dollars alone right in that one single piece of equipment. And as a leader, that's my job day in and day out, so that we continue to try to provide the level of services with the tightening of the tax dollars that we seem to have.
Okay. So let me throw another one in here, because we've got lots of time, and I this is, in a sense, a follow-up to all of these questions. And by the way, I'm up to date on my taxes. I'm good on that.
We'll see.
Go look. Yes, this puts me in a tough position here, thinking about what happens after Election Day. I need to be careful. But I do want to push the two of you on this idea of the difference between the two of you and what might inform a citizen's vote. So here's what I'm hearing this morning, and it's similar to what I heard before. Mr. Conway, you're emphasizing your experience and what you have accomplished in DeWitt, and how you might apply that then to the sheriff's office in a larger framework. And Mr. Shelley, you're emphasizing, I think, your experience in the sheriff's department and some of the things that you saw, things that you would want to change, and plans that you have for making improvements. You both have things that you want to do, but you sound a bit more specific on some of the things that you would do in the first year or two. So, and also this idea of the relationship between the legislature and the sheriff. Is there anything that the two of you want to add here in a minute or so that would help me and other voters try to figure out what's the difference between one lever and the other, or one bubble in the form or another here when we're voting? Mr. Conway, you want to start?
Sure, thank you. What separates me, I believe, is the fact that over the 38 years that I've been a police officer in this community, I've also been part of the community as well, being involved with different agencies, serving on boards, whether it's Vera House or any of the other many organizations that are in this community. And I think that's important from a law enforcement perspective, because the better we can understand the makeup of the people who live in our community, I feel the better we're able to serve them. And whether it's a person with special needs, or it's whatever the group is, whatever the fabric of the community is, it's so important, I believe, for the community to have the support of the law enforcement agency, and for law enforcement to be in tune with them as well. And so I'm proud of the different groups and organizations and things that have have happened in this community as a result of that. And having law enforcement be a part of that, I think only adds to the level of support that we may get.
Okay. Mr. Shelley, do you want to add anything to?
What sets me apart, as Grant's going to find out, the Sheriff's Department has many different paths, whether it's the jail or the police or the civil division. I've taken many paths in life, not just one. I haven't just taken a police path. I took a military path for 30 years. I'm a combat veteran. I was a fire chief, deputy fire chief, a master's degree. I run a farm. I run a business. That leadership at war, that leadership at home, that management of a business, that management of a fire department, that's going to help me manage those many paths within the Sheriff's Department. And I just left the Sheriff's Department. I understand what's going on there today. I can walk up to just about every single person and know their first name. That's what sets me apart. I've got quite a bit of diverse experience, and I understand what's going on in the Sheriff's Department today.
All right. Thank you. Thank you to the two of you for all those responses. And Sandra has someone, I think, that's ready to ask the question.
Yes. And so,
you have a...
Raise your hands. I'll try to spot you as we go around. But we're going to start first with Chief Callisto of the Syracuse Public Safety Department, Syracuse University.
Good morning. I just want to start by saying thank you both for having the guts to come in front of this group, number one. And number two, more importantly, for having the guts to run for sheriff. I mean, that's a pretty significant role and a significant challenge in the community. I'm actually very proud of the both of you, having worked with both of you over the years. As I think about law enforcement in Onondaga County and the system, as you've both talked about, I think an important question comes up with regards to the towns and villages and the city and collaboration. And I'd just ask if you could just tell us a little bit about your vision for the Sheriff's Office collaborating with local law enforcement, including the third largest law enforcement agency in the county, the Syracuse University Department of Public Safety.
Mr. Conway, you want to start? I think Mr. Shelley spoke last, so do you want to start on that?
Yes, thank you. As you know, or perhaps know, on January 1st, the village of East Syracuse will merge with the town of DeWitt Police Department. That will happen. It's my belief that come January 1st, that will go so smoothly that the people in the village of East Syracuse won't even notice it. And I say that in a complimentary way because the fact that we have had several months between when that was decided to happen and when it will be implemented, we've had several months to work out all the logistical things, all the behind-the-scenes things that are necessary in merging two departments. So I firmly believe it'll be a very successful merger. And I think that's important, but I also think it's important that that in this community that we look for those kind of mergers when we're not facing, say, a financial crisis, because it's been my feeling that that's when people become emotional, and obviously that emotion can take over justifiably what may be the best course of action. So as sheriff, I will continue to foster the types of relationships that I have had as a police chief in the town of DeWitt, not only fostering with the Sheriff's Department, but with the state police and the federal agencies as well. All of us here together need to work collectively. We have been working collectively to try to address the crimes and the types of incidents that obviously cause us to be alarmed sometimes.
Two main reasons we should be working together is, one, crime doesn't know borders. What's going on in Syracuse University could easily happen in Syracuse and happen throughout the county. Need to work together on those type of things. How can we do that? Well, we could have one big group of detectives, because a lot of times one person knows about the guy with the red hat, the other police agency knows about the guy with the red shoes, and we don't realize that that's the same person because we're not working together. It's one thing we can do. Another main reason we need to look at ways to work together is money. A lot of things come back to money. Why do we have so many countywide SWAT teams or ES emergency services teams or response teams? You know, the Sheriff's Department is around $250,000 in their budget for SWAT. Syracuse Police is around $750,000. We have three armored personnel carriers now in Onondaga County. Last time I knew there wasn't a war going on in Onondaga County, I questioned the need for even one. Why don't we look at putting that group together, train together, combine our equipment, save our money, provide a better service?
Thank you.
I wanted to follow up on some of the practical implications of some of the changes you're both proposing. You've talked a little bit about the county legislature and need to have a relationship with them, but there are two unions in the sheriff's department that are active, and in the past I know have been an impediment perhaps to some of the practical changes like bringing back take-home cars or using retirees for some of the services. Can you both address how you would approach that, those two groups?
Do you want to start, Mr. Shelley?
There's four unions in the sheriff's department. I've read every one of their contracts. The only take-home cars the sheriff cannot get, Article 36 of the jail contract says they get their cars, the jail contract, and that's up for renewal right now. It's overdue. The captain's contract with take-home cars says anybody promoted after 2008, the sheriff's discretion getting their cars. The police union contract, it's discretion of the sheriff completely. The CSEA contract for the civilian employees, take-home cars don't matter. So I have read those, more than willing to work with the unions. And as far as the other one with school resource officers and part-time employment retirees, I would do that through the special patrol officer program, which is already established. Then take some of those special patrol officers, bring the school here, the school resource officer school here, and train them that way. And that's how we can do that.
Mr. Comey?
I actually have experience in working with unions. In fact, the last two labor contracts in the town of DeWitt Police Department, the last two were resolved without them going to arbitration, and I'm proud to say that I played a role in that. And I think that any time that you can have a resolution, especially to a labor issue, without it going to arbitration, certainly saves money, and it helps resolve any kind of conflict. So, again, I would apply those same skills that I've used in DeWitt relative to labor management and use those in the sheriff's office as well. I'd also like to mention that in DeWitt, we have a very robust intern program. We have interns every semester throughout the colleges in this community. It helps us greatly. It saves us money. It gives them exposure to law enforcement work. And it's certainly something that going into the office of the sheriff will be one of my programs that I will be implementing is an internship program.
We've obviously been talking a lot about money eventually coming back to play a role in all this stuff. My question goes to, I can recall year after year where the sheriff's department would have $1 million in overtime, sometimes much more than that, and always was a conflict, actually a point of conflict with the county legislature in particular. The same thing with the Air One in terms of the funding for that aircraft, I guess you say helicopter. How would each of you deal with both those issues, the overtime and the helicopter?
And I've lost track of what the order was. I think it's your, Mr. Conway, is it your turn? I think it's your
sure,
turn. Go ahead.
Overtime's a management issue. Everyone that works overtime has to have their overtime approved by a supervisor at each level that they go through. And obviously I see this in the town of DeWitt. There are some incidents, many incidents sometimes, that aren't predictable, as we all know, and we have to respond to them. However, you also have the ability as a manager to put things into place to try to minimize the amount of overtime that you're going to have. And so that starts with accountability. Accountability down through the chain of command of what the priority will be, not just really an open book. And so implementing that in the sheriff's department through a chain of command, I think, is extremely important. It's what we do in DeWitt. I have a budget that I'm presented with every year, and I'm able to work within that budget. However, again, it's extra tax dollars that obviously we need to be especially careful of.
And Air One was part of his question as well.
I believe Air One's necessary in this community. I especially believe it now, since the state police has taken their helicopter and moved it to Rochester. In my 24 years with the Sheriff's Department, I saw that helicopter save many lives. And in my opinion, if it only saves one life, it's important. However, when that ship came into existence many years ago, it was performing certain roles, and I believe those roles have now changed. What I mean by that is we now have the ability for medical helicopters here now. So what I will be doing is going in as sheriff is assessing the aviation program and perhaps looking at maybe a different size ship, maybe a ship that that is less expensive to operate while still focusing on what that mission will be for that helicopter. Will it just be search and rescue? Should it be just search and rescue? Based on the fact that we have these other avenues available to us. But I think it's also most important, and I will do this, is to reach out to those private companies that have the other helicopters and see if there's a way there for even public and private to work together to provide services.
Mr. Shelley?
I've built budgets as a deputy fire chief for overtime because you can't predict what's going to happen at the end of your shift. So overtime is inherent in what people do in public safety. And nobody's complaining about that type of overtime. And you build that into your budget. The problem is when you go way over your overtime budget, and that's a strictly a management issue. When you're paying people to stand at the boat show for 51 hours on overtime, especially a guy that's never even been in the navigation unit. When you're paying people to do emergency vehicle operations training, it was on the front page of the Sunday paper, December 23rd, 2008. That's what people are mad about, and that's what I wouldn't allow. You just unschedule that type of overtime. So overtime is going to be fairly easy to get a handle on. But also, I'm going to put this caveat out with overtime. Sometimes it's cheaper to pay overtime than it is to hire more positions. If that's the case, and I've said this to Ryan McMahon, and I don't see him in the crowd, if that's the case, it goes back on the people that won't let us hire those positions. Don't blame the sheriff if you're not letting us hire those positions because it's cheaper to pay the overtime. That makes sense?
In the Air One.
So as far as Air One goes, I've already suggested a way to pay for Air One. I think Air One's very important to the community. I know from knocking on thousands of doors, I've talked to three people that were opposed to it, just three. And I said to those three people, as sheriff, you need to build, of course, a one-year plan, a five-year plan, a 10-year plan. And it's hard to get accurate numbers on Air One. I've asked for them, I can't get them. How many calls do we respond out of county? How many are police calls? How many are medical calls? I want to know that, because if over half our calls are out of county, we need to work with memorandums of understanding and agreements with the other counties to help us pay for this ship. I think it's very important. It's a multi-use ship. It can do fire, it can do police, it can do saving lives, rescue. I'd like to keep it. I'd put it in my 10-year plan. But if I find out it's not justified when I'm the sheriff and get realistic numbers, we'll take it out of the 10-year plan.
What's your opinion of moving towards a metropolitan law enforcement agency?
And Mr. Shelley, you are first on this one. I did keep track.
Metropolitan police and consolidation is not up to the sheriff. That's up to the people through referendum. It's up to the people through referendum. The sheriff can't say, you know what, I'm the king, I'm taking over the county. I think it's going to be forced in the future just because of money and tightening budgets. I think it'll be forced in the future. And the sheriff should plan for that. And we should plan for things like Clay. A Clay almost happened in Cicero. Cicero almost got dissolved. The calls don't stop coming in. Who's going to answer them? We need to plan for those type of things. But me as sheriff, I'm not a proponent of it because it's not up to me. It's up to the people.
Can I ask a follow-up to this question before, Mr. Conway? And are there examples where this has happened and been done where it's worked well? That
works very successfully throughout other areas of our country.
Okay.
Very successful.
Okay. Mr. Conway?
The answer to your question is I believe mergers, a metropolitan police department in this community is possible. And I think progressively thinking down the road that's a way that we should be thinking about that. However, I think the more that we have successful smaller mergers such as DeWitt and East Syracuse, I think that will help stimulate that conversation towards that goal of a larger metropolitan police department. You may or may not recall, but in the late 70s, there was a merger that to this day is very successful, and that's where the villages of Fayetteville, village of Manoa, and the village of Manlius merged with the town of Manlius Police Department. And to this day, that merger is still in existence. So there have been a few successful ones. Unfortunately, there's been some ones that did not go well. And so I'm confident that the more that we go forward with successful ones, the more that will gain momentum and allow us to carry that idea forward.
I'm wondering if you could speak to the issue of race relations and the sheriff's office's responsibility. Specifically, do you have any takeaway lessons learned from the Ferguson situation? And specifically also, are you supportive of the proposal in the county legislature for a civilian review board for the county jail?
Mr. Conway, you're first on this.
To your first question, while unfortunate what happened in Ferguson, I feel that avoiding that situation in Ferguson is done on a daily basis, and it's done in law enforcement with the community day by day by day, so that you never reach that point of what happened in Ferguson. And what I mean is, again, by having these conversations, these dialogues throughout the community with an understanding of both what law enforcement does and obviously the challenges that the community faces or their feelings or their observations of the police as well. The more that you can have that dialogue, I'm convinced the better off you are at avoiding a situation like in Ferguson. To your question about the Oversight Committee, I've only seen it on paper. I've had no discussions with anyone about it. I think that the sheriff coming into office in January, a new sheriff, should have a chance, obviously, to make changes in whatever department or make changes that whatever has brought the concern of the idea of an oversight committee to that. Again, I'll refer back to my willingness to sit down with people and the mention of the police commission in the town of DeWitt, which are not elected officials. They are community members of the town of DeWitt, and we meet every single month. Each and every month, there's 13 of them now, and they provide me great input and great advice and great suggestions and feedback as to running a law enforcement agency in a community such as that. So I'm extremely fortunate to have that group that I report to each month as an example of my willingness to listen to the community.
4 years ago when I ran for sheriff, a person in this room who I'm looking at but I won't name asked me a similar question about diversity in the sheriff's department. And from my perspective, through my eyes, I didn't see a problem. So I asked a person, Bob Richards, grew up on Midland Ave. I asked him the same question. He gave me an earful. And you really have to look through other people's eyes to understand that question. And that's why I'm going to put together deputies advisory boards. Those people, those deputies from the various divisions, will meet directly with the sheriff. So I can hear what they have to say and try and look through their eyes and fix those things. Ferguson affects all of us in this country. The public trust is betrayed. How can we fix a Ferguson? We can't fix a Ferguson. How can we help if a Ferguson incident happens in Syracuse or this county? One, we build the public trust. If we have the public trust, we'll have mutual respect. We can exercise caution. If it happens, we can say to people, hey, look, give me time to investigate this. You may not have all the facts. It takes time to work and build that up. As far as the Oversight Committee, I've read that 12-page document. Read it twice so I understood it. I don't fear transparency. I don't fear fairness. However, I would not give the power and authority of the Office of the Sheriff to County Ledge. The sheriff can investigate his own things. Once that investigation is thoroughly done, I would share that. But to allow people not involved that aren't police officers or corrections officers to do an investigation on someone that is, I'm leery of that.
Quick follow-up. This is the specific point here. Mr. Conway, would you agree with what Mr. Shelley just said at the end about the about that aspect of a commission?
Again, you know, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to sit down with the legislature and to sit down with whoever was responsible for drafting that legislation. I would like to have the conversation about, you know, really what their intentions are or what their hope is by having that committee before I would be willing to just sign off on it.
Okay, so you're it sounds like you're in agreement with Mr. Shelley's concern about a line there about control versus advice.
Well, it's more about what is the intent? What is the purpose? And is it something that the new sheriff obviously can address that would resolve or remove the need for that?
Thank you for being here. I was going to also ask about the Consolidated Metropolitan Law Enforcement Agency, but there's also an approach in other places that's not worked quite as well, but there's an opportunity here for a consolidated public safety agency. One of the problems we have is all the fire departments as well, and the fact that we just have less people in the urban areas in some places and more in others. Maybe you could speak to that a bit, the notion of a consolidated public safety approach across all of the governments in the county. And then secondly, what initiatives would you propose to increase what is also a national trend is greater transparency and accountability in governing generally?
Okay. And Mr. Shelley, that would be your turn to go first.
Fire departments, I can talk to with extensive experience. One, I have a degree in fire protection. Two, I was sent to Washington, D.C. to build a metro fire. But going against fire departments in Onondaga County is like going against apple pie in America. We're not there yet. I was at a fire department in Sumter, South Carolina. And in that county, they have one fire department, one. The taxes, the assistant chief who I was working with, he lived in a gated community on the edge of a golf course. His taxes were $900 a year, $900. Works well down there, but we're not there yet in Onondaga County. And I'm not going to speak against the fire departments whatsoever because I'm trying to beat my opponent over here in this race. So as far as transparency goes, we need to be transparent in what we do, especially with money. We can't always be transparent in investigations because people are accused, they're not convicted, and we can't always share that information to our legal process. It takes care of that.
Mr. Conway?
To your question about the fire service, that's a great question. I've always wondered why, since we're both first responders, why more hasn't happened as far as co-locating. They're both 24/7 operations. Just in the fact that if we shared locker rooms, we shared restrooms, we shared the training room, all those things could be shared under one building. And so I'm a proponent of that. I really don't see where the fire service would be opposed to that. In my experience in DeWitt with working with the three different fire departments, a lot of the calls that the fire departments are going out on now, the police department's being sent to that same call. And I've even looked at some models across the country where there's been some cross-training where the fire service can perform some of the functions that the police officers do and vice versa. And I think, again, that's a very progressive, innovative approach that I'd like to at least discuss here in this community. But certainly the co-locating of a common facility, to me, makes a lot of sense.
And the transparency piece that she brought up, increasing transparency?
I hope that I've been perceived as a transparent person in my 12 years as the police chief in DeWitt. I take pride in the fact that whenever anybody calls the DeWitt Police Department, they never get a recorded message. If they want to speak to the chief of police, they speak to him, and that we always are very connected to people. Beyond that, I don't believe I've ever rejected any type of request, so I've always tried to be open. I just feel it's a better avenue to have.
I don't know if this was part of your question, but just to push on a little bit, what about the idea of being more proactive with putting data out there? It's one thing to be available if someone calls, but it's another to say, here is information about our arrests, and you know, here's the information, and be more proactive about putting that out to the community. Are there opportunities, do you think, to do more of that, Mr. Shelley?
I have one question to back up a little bit. I'm a nationally certified firefighter, state certified firefighter, on and on. I'm not sure what my opponent's talking about that we have the similar. Other than fire police and directing traffic, I'm not sure what he's talking about there. We used to be a lot more, we used to be in the paper a lot more. If you remember 20 years ago or so, every accident, every arrest was in the paper. You know, I live in Atisco, starts with O, ends with O, and we get the Neighbors West out there, and I read the people that got arrested in Neighbors West. And Camillus is this big, and the sheriff's department's this big. Well, I know who's getting arrested. How come they're not in there? How come we don't have more stuff in there? I don't know, and that's something that would fix. I'd like to have direct communication with the press. Watch commanders, there's a lieutenant on every watch. They have a connection with the press. What went on that watch, it wouldn't compromise an investigation. We share with the press. For example, something as simple as finding World War I hand grenades in a dresser. I had that case. I think that's interesting news.
Mr. Conway?
Just going back to the comment of transparency, we create an annual report every year, and then throughout the year, again, the police commission meetings are open meetings that people can come to. We have a very robust social media program through Facebook and through Twitter and through those measures. But then we still have the conventional means where, for instance, we had a burglary problem in DeWitt recently, and we solved the burglary, but then we called for a community meeting to ask people to come so we could explain to them what happened, how we got to solving the crime, and again, giving them with more information about how they could continue to help us. So having that kind of dialogue through actual meetings or sending out crime alerts that we do through our social media program, we try to take advantage of any opportunity that's afforded to us to get that information out.
I'd like to ask a question about the Onondaga County Justice Center, where the inmates are people who have been charged of a crime, as I understand it, and they are either not allowed out on bail or else they are not able to afford bail. Several years ago, County Executive Pirro had a task force, I think, that was looking at ways to try to alleviate occasional overcrowding in the Justice Center that might have been due to against recidivism, therefore people having higher bails. I'm sure that there were other issues that they were working on. More recently, we've heard about the fact that a lot of people in the jail have mental health issues. There aren't other facilities, apparently, in the community where those people can be taken. So there is now maybe more frequently overcrowding in the jail, or else more space being taken up because of some of the requirements of having to deal with inmates with mental health. As sheriff, what steps would you take, or what is your plan for dealing with issues of overcrowding and mental health inmates at the Justice Center?
Mr. Shelley, you're first on this.
One, we need to find out why we have more people in our jail. You know, index crimes are down throughout our country, the robberies, burglaries, things like that. The only thing unique to Syracuse, we have a disproportionate number of murders. It's the only thing different than the rest of the country. So why do we have more people in our jail? That's one question. Are they getting arrested for petty crimes? I'm not sure. Is it because of the judicial process? I mean, the average stay in our prison, in our jail, our justice center has gone up. I think it's 24 days now. But why? Is the bottleneck the judicial process? The district attorney's office is backed up, or the defense lawyers? Is that the problem? Or is the problem mental illness? And if it is mental illness, I would propose we should try and help these people before they get in jail, because the jail system's not going to help them like they should.
Mr. Conway?
The jail is overcrowded just as it was 20 years ago when the public safety building became overcrowded, and that's what led to the building of the Justice Center. So here we are, fast forward to just 20 years, and the Justice Center is full. It's over full. I know there's been a thought about creating another 100-bed floor or facility. However, that concerns me that we're only really just putting a Band-Aid on a problem that requires probably a tourniquet. And again, people who are coming into the facility, I think we need to find as a community other ways for these people to get services and to get help so that they're not going to committing crimes, which is then bringing them through the front doors of the Justice Center. And I, to respect to all the deputies that work in the custody department, they're not mental health workers. They're custody deputies, and while I will certainly try to give them the most extensive and intensive training as possible, I think that's a very difficult job for them to manage the complex issues of people that are coming through the Justice Center. To the point of why the Justice Center is overflowing, obviously, judges set bail in this community, and we have city judges, towns and village judges, and some judges may feel differently about someone being charged with a crime and what that level of bail should be, and I know that there's been some tracking done on that, but again, that is up to the individual judges to either the amount of bail or whether bail at all should be set on that. So I think that's probably more of a judicial topic of conversation as well.
I think we're getting toward the end of our time. We probably have time for one more question. No? Yeah, okay, one more. Before we do that, though, I just want to take a moment to, so it doesn't get lost at the end. I've done a lot of these kinds of panels and candidate conversations this election cycle and past election cycles. I just want to compliment both of you for being astonishingly mutually respectful in this. And I think maybe we should take a tape of this and sort of use it for a candidate school in the county going down the road. Having said that, who's going to ask the last question, Sandra?
I'll give it to you. If
it's a quick one.
Yeah, it's one word. Could you talk a little bit more about increasing professionalism at the Sheriff's Department?
And throw in recruitment. How do you, and recruitment of new officers.
Mr. Conway, you're first on this.
I'll speak to professionalism. This has been my career, 38 years, and one thing that I take very seriously is the fact that we as law enforcement officers represent ourselves to the community as professionally as possible. I take great pride in that. Hopefully, if you've ever seen a DeWitt police officer, he looks or she looks professional. I know the officers have heard me use that word time and time again, and probably they're tired of hearing it, but I think it's extremely important. I think it's extremely important to the community that those people that they count on in the case of an emergency or dire need are as professional, as respectful, and as understanding and compassionate as possible. I think that's part of the makeup of the type of police officer each and every one of us wants to have. As to recruitment, we are always looking for the best possible police officers possible, plain and simple. Again, I mentioned the internship program we have, which has really helped identify for us a lot of good potential candidates. And for them as well, it's given them exposure to this type of career. So those kind of programs where we can have people be introduced to a police department atmosphere to help them decide whether they want to pursue that and or for us, obviously, I think is a very good idea. That's just one of the measures of recruiting. But by and large, we want the best police officers possible.
Mr. Shelley?
As far as professionalism goes, I'm a 30-year military veteran. I'm a decorated war veteran. And I'll bring a military-style operation to the Sheriff's Department. And what I like about the military is it's fair. The rules apply to everyone. If the rule says you put your hat on outside, guess what the general and the private both do? They put their hat on outside. And I'll bring those professional standards from the military. And we have a lot of that in the Sheriff's Department already, but it's going to be a military-run organization that's going to deal with professionalism and lead by example, obviously. As far as recruitment, I'm going to go to DeWitt Police and recruit his people first.
Okay.
But the challenge with recruitment today, that's a good idea. So the challenge with recruitment today, when I got hired, I would have done the job for free. I didn't ask about how many days off or pay I got, but that's changed with our youth today. They ask about, well, how much do I get paid and how many, you know, recruitment is a challenge for all of us across the board. So one thing I would do is seriously look at some other agencies and try and see who I could scrounge from them. But as far as a recruitment campaign, it's a challenge getting quality people today.
We have about 30 seconds left. Mr. Shelley, you just sort of introduced a lighter note here, and I want to pursue that just for a second as an ending thing.
Looking into your taxes.
I'm changing the subject. We got about just this will be a 10-second response, but you put something in my head earlier, and I can't get it out, so I'm going to get it out here.
Oh, no.
You introduced this storied history of the sheriff going back to merry old England, and it got me thinking of this. It is also a tradition in America and our culture and the frontier and so on. So I wanted to ask both of you, I'll start, Mr. Cummins, who's your favorite sheriff?
Wyatt Earp.
Mr. Shelley?
Well, it's interesting that the Sheriff's Department is 220 years old. And in those 220 years, we've had one Democratic sheriff. One. His name was Pat Corbett. And I would argue he did the most for the Sheriff's Department than any other sheriff. He's the reason we have civil service. He's the reason we have police academies. He's the reason we have an aviation unit. Obviously, my sheriff, favorite sheriff in Onondaga County would be Pat Corbett.
Okay, so we got Wyatt Earp and Pat Corbett. All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.